How do you explain to someone that what they think is radical candor is actually just them being really rude? Or what's the right way to tell your boss that the environment of psychological safety that they think exists is just everybody walking on eggshells to keep a toxic colleague happy? Fun questions, right? Well, today we are delving into one of the toughest and most fraught parts of the Agile operating system, people. Specifically, we're going to be seeking a balance between two concepts that get thrown around a lot. Both are really important and both are often really misunderstood: psychological safety and radical candor. Both of them are critical for having a healthy agile culture and supporting the people inside of that culture. But when we take either one of them to extremes or allow them to get out of balance, then the whole thing becomes this grotesque caricature of the open and respectful and productive environment that we all want to work in, and which is absolutely essential for dealing with the rapidly evolving landscape that we all live in these days. So let's see if we can't find a way to walk that tightrope together today. Welcome to the Agile Marketing Edge, the first podcast dedicated to turning agile theory into real-world marketing breakthroughs. I'm Andrea Freilier, CEO of Agile Sherpas, and your guide on this climb to smarter, faster, outcome-driven marketing. Every week, we unpack the what, who, and how behind Agile marketing, from building high-velocity workflows and slashing waste to measuring what really matters and scaling success across teams. You'll hear quick-hit strategies you can deploy today, plus candid stories from marketers who've traded chaos for clarity and never looked back. Hit follow wherever you listen, and let's carve the next switchback together. Okay, first things first, definition time. Psychological safety is a team climate where people feel safe to speak openly. They feel like they can share ideas, they can ask questions, they can admit when they make a mistake, and they can challenge assumptions. And this goes for challenging up, admitting in front of anybody, sharing ideas to anyone around them, not just to peers and not just to people that report to them, without fear of embarrassment or punishment or any kind of retaliation. This was originated by Harvard's Amy Edmondson, and her research has shown pretty convincingly that psychologically safe environments do a lot of really cool things. So they reduce errors, and they enable faster learning and innovation. So we want psychological safety. It helps us perform better, and it also makes people happier and more fulfilled at work. So that's the first definition. Second, we have radical candor, which is a term that was coined by Kim Scott. And succinctly, it is the practice of caring personally about someone while also being able to challenge them directly. So it's this combination of giving honest and, when necessary, really tough feedback, but doing this in a way that shows that you respect and have genuine concern for the person on the other side of the conversation. And there's this great HBR article called The Truth, The Hard Truth About Innovative Cultures, which we will provide the link to. And it emphasizes that you need both of these things, psychological safety and radical candor, in balance to create an environment of real innovation. Because if we have psychological safety without candor, we get this niceness without any forward progress problem. People are comfortable. They're like really chill and everything's nice, but ideas stagnate. There's nothing new or cool happening because nobody is willing to challenge the status quo. Everybody's just doing what they've always done. And I've heard tons of clients over the years talk about this as, insert company name here, nice. All right, so if you work at Acme Co., this would be Acme Co. Nice. And it's shocking how many companies have this, and they refer to it the exact same way. And it's their own company's brand of kind of toxic politeness, right? It's turns out, even though people are doing it in the name of being nice, it turns out to be really unpleasant and counterproductive. And it's that way kind of any time. But right now, in the world we are all living in, which is moving at this breakneck, pretty crazy pace, this kind of toxic niceness is really downright dangerous. So let's play out how this might be happening in two different types of teams, right? So this first one, let's imagine, can use radical candor to give honest feedback really quickly. People debate the feedback when it is given in a caring and honest manner. We debate the merits of the feedback in an objective way without taking it personally. And then that results in a greatly improved piece of collateral, whatever it was that we gave feedback on. And it can then be released. A better piece can be released quickly after this rapid round of quick feedback and iteration. It happens really fast. Nobody goes home crying or takes it personally. But then the other team is in this toxically nice environment. They don't have the radical candor piece. They have to go through all of these like crazy gyrations to try to protect everybody's feelings. And it ends up that they have to do all of these complex political back channeling to get their real input heard, because we can't say it out loud. We can't say it to the person's face or they'll get their feelings hurt, but we still have to get the feedback implemented. So we have to do all this back channeling and we still have to get the feedback put in place. And then somehow the good version that has the feedback in it has to be rolled out without implying that anybody did a bad job. And this is taking now days, if not weeks. And by then, our first hypothetical team has probably done multiple iterations and gotten tons of data, performance data, and feedback, thanks to their rapid, non-emotional feedback loop. So these are both hypothetical teams, but which of them do you think is going to be winning in 2025? Pretty obvious. Of course, on the flip side of all of this, if we have candor without safety, we get an environment of fear and defensiveness. If we have feedback that's really biting and personally directed and kind of sharp and mean, it ends up shutting people down instead of helping them learn and delivering the improved product and the better outcomes that we actually want. So if you find yourself in meetings where people are saying that people's ideas are ridiculous, or that everything you just said has already been tried, and what kind of an idiot are you for not having gone back and done your research to know that these ideas were already done? Are you likely to come up with ideas in a meeting ever again? Probably not. And over time, when teams are in these kinds of environments and they have leaders who are shooting down every idea unilaterally, the proposals eventually stop. The ideas are eventually gone. And what you have then, of course, is this echo chamber of the same stuff over and over again. We use the same channels. We go to the same events. We recycle the same campaigns and we use the same old messaging over and over again. And then one day, the leader realizes that the performance is tanking and the metrics are terrible. So they go to the team looking for new ideas to shake things up and make the numbers go up and to the right. And then nobody wants to speak up. And now the leader is frustrated, walking around fuming about how they have to do everything and nobody comes up with any ideas. They just have to do it all themselves. I wonder how this could have possibly happened. Both of these situations are an not an innovative, fast-moving, agile culture, which is what we have to have in modern marketing to have any hope of being successful right now. But this is what happens when things get out of balance. But if we have psychological safety and radical candor working together, this is where things get really magical. Because we have psychological safety, ensuring that people feel safe and secure enough to both give and receive direct, rapid, helpful feedback. So work is getting better, and it's getting better quickly, and people then can give and receive more feedback, and we have now a virtuous cycle of improvement that's happening quickly and often. And radical candor is ensuring that feedback is meaningful and actionable and designed to actually help improve the work instead of done in the service of being just polite or to personally attack someone and not done to improve the work. So when they are in harmony and creating this kind of healthy tension, then we get a culture where people can speak hard truths when those truths need to be spoken. They can defend their ideas with data, and they can refine their thinking really quickly as a group going in the same direction with the same goals. And they can do all of this without damaging the trust and respect that forms the foundation of any good team. And this balance, this beautiful synergy of psychological safety and radical candor, is a must have for innovation. Because for innovation to actually happen, new ideas have to be tested and debated, and they have to evolve out in the open. They can't be developed in a vacuum. They need lots of voices. They need lots of opinions and ideas for them to actually have a chance at succeeding out in the wild. And for marketing in particular right now, our lives are innovate or die trying. Everything is changing so fast. We don't have a choice about this. So if you haven't figured out how to get both psychological safety and radical candor activated in your teams, now is the time. You got no choice. You got to figure this out. The hard part about both of these things is that I cannot give you a simple 10-point checklist or a nice, easy peasy template to follow. And if you do all of these things, then you can check this off your list, wipe your hands of this problem, and you'll be all done. And you'll have perfect psychological safety and radical candor, and you won't have to come back and worry about this ever again. I apologize, but that's simply not how these things work. The only way to foster both of these things is by building them up kind of brick by brick by brick through many tiny interactions over time. So the good news about this truth is that you can start working on both of these needs immediately, right away, while you're listening to this podcast. You could do it right now, certainly after the podcast is over, maybe not exactly while you're listening, but very immediately, the next meeting you're in or the very next conversation that you have is an opportunity to build up psychological safety or radical candor, or maybe even both. You have that opportunity. It will come your way every single day. The bad news is that it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while to really see results because you're going to have to break some bad habits of your own, and you're going to help others around you also break bad habits and build up new ones. And I used to tell my kids this all the time when we would work on things like being truthful and maybe not lying to your parents about what happened to that piece of candy. You take a long time to build up trust, but you can destroy it in one action. And the same thing goes for things like radical candor and psychological safety. They take a really long time to build up, but a really short amount of time to destroy. So you have to be very thoughtful, very mindful and aware of your actions and your words when you are working on addressing these gaps or these imbalances in your team or in your marketing organization. So if you're familiar with the concept of emotional intelligence or EQ, you know that self-awareness and self-management are two of the first components of good emotional intelligence. And this is why, because you can't be highly emotionally intelligent until you are aware of your own emotional state, until you are in control of how you respond to situations that you're in. And this makes a ton of sense, because if you are just reacting and responding without any thought, you are certainly going to say things that you are going to regret. You are certainly going to say things that are going to break down psychological safety rather than build it up. And you're going to say things that are not going to be supportive of a radically candid environment. So becoming aware of your own emotional state and learning to manage it throughout your day is going to be critical. So that is an immediate first step. But aside from that, you know, I love me some good practical, tactical advice, and I want to give always some very clear action items that you can put into place after you listen to one of these episodes. So I do want to give some very specific tools that you can use within your team or even across teams so that you have something that you can put in place to start making some real headway against one or both of these needs. So if you feel like radical candor is the place where you need to put in the most work, if you think you have a acme-co nice, like if you are too nice, if everybody is just polite and only says nice things and they keep all of the criticism inside until they go into the hallway or onto Slack and then they say all the bad things behind the scenes, if you're in that kind of an environment, you need to work on radical candor. These are some three ways that you can start working on that. The first is to create space for what's called a candor round during meetings. And this is to require every single person in the meeting, you can't opt out, this is not negotiable. Everybody in the meeting has to offer up at least one critique and one compliment about the work that was shared. The work, not the people, one critique and one compliment about the work that was shared either during a sprint planning or during a sprint review. You're not using sprints, any kind of work-related session will do. Anytime that work is being planned or shown, this works. Because the idea is that we are looking at work and then we are training ourselves to give criticism and then also positive feedback. So we can now have the muscle to say both positive and negative things and see that the world does not end either way. If you are very imbalanced and radical candor is very much not a part of your culture, I would say also coach people not to defend in these candor rounds. The criticism is not a criticism of them, right? It is feedback on the work. Don't turn this into a defense time, right? Just have everybody listen and potentially just say, thank you for that feedback. That should be all of the back and forth that happens, right? This is not a time to defend or get into a lot of back and forth stuff. That is going to be counterproductive to building up this radical candor. Okay, the second tool you can put into your tool belt for building up radical candor is to look for some opportunities for some micro feedback. So don't wait for some giant problem to show up to practice radical candor. Look for really little things that are not going to feel risky and scary. So things like, this headline is really sharp, but the CTA feels off. Can you take another pass at it? That was some radical candor because we said we didn't like the CTA and that they needed to work on it again. This is less of a big deal than having somebody bring you a project that's 90% complete and telling them that it is all wrong and they need to start over. That might also be true, but that is a much bigger jump into radical candor than to have them work on a small piece of copy, right? And to give the feedback around a small piece of copy. So getting used to giving feedback in these kind of micro moments is a really helpful way to get that muscle start to be built up and to work on starting to correct the imbalance in small moments. And the third one here for working on radical candor is to really start pushing for honesty during any agile ceremonies that you're having. So for instance, if you have daily stand-ups or any kind of agile huddles where people are giving updates or updates about the work that they're doing, and it's all roses and rainbows, people are definitely leaving things out. They are definitely blocked. They are definitely behind. They have definitely skipped over some issues that they just don't want to talk about because they're afraid and they don't want to receive the negative feedback. No teams have perfect work weeks all the time. So push them to be more open. Same thing in retros. If all you hear are, yay, everybody on the team is amazing. Everybody on the team worked so well together. I'm so happy to be on this team. No feedback. Everything is great. In retros, no way. Ask for what's really going on and don't be afraid to let the silence hang. Let it go. Let it be quiet until the truth starts coming out. It's okay to be quiet for a minute while people get comfortable saying some hard things. It might take a while in the early days, and that's okay. Okay, those were three things that you can do if radical candor is the place where you feel out of balance, if you feel like psychological safety is where you are wonky, three things for you to work on there. If you are in any kind of position of leadership, start modeling vulnerability yourself. Admit when you make mistakes. That was my fault. I overlooked that. Say it out loud. Just admit it and move on. Don't make a big deal out of it. And get comfortable saying the three words, I don't know. Just admit it. We don't know everything. Not everyone knows everything. It's not possible to know everything. We are human and it is okay. This on its own will open the door for others to follow suit and also admit when they don't know things or when they make a mistake. The second thing is if you need to create new team norms and document them. So if this is going to be a really big 180 degree change for your team, you may need to write it down and get verbal agreement from your team that this is a change we have all committed to and are going to hold one another accountable to. So this may be things like no ideas get shot down without data to back it up. Or we agree to critique work, not people. And if you are in an office, these can be big posters that you put up in a common area. If you are virtual distributed teams, maybe these get repeated at the start of every meeting, or if you have a shared Slack or a shared Miro board or something, this can be always put up at the start of a meeting or reshown. Get them to be just part of the fabric of the team. Keep referencing them until they become second nature. As soon as you start to hear team members repeating them, then you know they've become just integral to how the team works. Third thing to do if you feel like you're struggling with psychological safety is don't wait for people to speak up on their own. ask explicitly, who sees this differently? Or what aren't we thinking of? And then, just like we talked about in the retrospective suggestion, hold the space for silence after these questions. If you say, what aren't we thinking of? Anybody? No? Nobody? Okay. And then you move on, that does not count. Hold the space. Take a drink of water. Take 3 drinks of water. Whatever you need to do, get comfortable with the quiet and let the space sit there. People may not talk at first, but once they know that that space is going to be there every single time, then they're going to get more comfortable stepping into it. But you got to hold it. You got to make sure that it is there. Okay. 3 things that you can do to try to get these things back into balance with your teams. It's going to take some time, but the sooner you start, the sooner you will start to see results. And you have to. Everybody needs a culture of innovation right now. If you don't have one, how are you going to keep up? There is just no way. You have to have an innovative culture, which means you have to have psychological safety, you have to have radical candor, and you have to have them in balance. If this all sounds utterly and completely overwhelming to you and you have no idea how to get started and you feel like you could really use a Sherpa to climb alongside you, we got you. The Agile Sherpas team does exactly that. We coach marketing teams and leaders and executives as they evolve their behaviors to align with modern agile ways of working. So you can drop me a line at agilesherpas.com/ and let's see if we can help you. Till next time, I'm your host, Andrea Fryer. Don't forget, the struggle is real, but so is agile marketing.